The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Autism Pensacola.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a pig, E-I-E-I-O. With an oink oink here and an oink oink there. Here an oink, there an oink, everywhere an oink oink. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Man, these videos just get more high def and CGI'd over time. Man, these cartoons don't look anything like when I was a kid. That's Coco Melon there. We'll explain that song here in a little bit. No, I don't have the Agricultural Extension Office in the studio. That might have thrown you there. I actually have Autism Pensacola in the studio on the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Jake Walker. Thank you so much for joining me. Questions or comments, please let us know. You can join the conversation 437-1620. My guests this morning, Mary McClellan. She's the executive director of Autism Pensacola, and we're also joined by Lisa Oliver and Mike White. He also is with Torgerson Causey Insurance, a sponsor on our morning show with Andrew McKay. So, Mike, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Lisa Oliver, very nice to meet you this morning. And
nice
Mary McClellan, great to see you again. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great this morning. How are you? Good.
I'm doing great. Glad to have you on the show.
Okay. Well, as we've discussed, Autism Acceptance Month is in April every year, and so we are on the third day of that. Basically, what we were trying to do during this month is spread awareness about autism and highlight the behaviors associated with it, and just show that it's just another way of thinking. It's different. It's not less. And autism is a disorder that is defined by verbal communication skills, repetitive behaviors, and social interactions. It is not contagious and it is not curable, but there are lots of therapies in place that can help with the different behaviors associated with autism. And it helps the kids reach the brightest, most independent futures possible. So when it comes to Autism Acceptance Month, we are trying to get the general community to actually embrace individuals with autism and understand that they are just like other people who are not diagnosed with autism.
Right. On our notes, I noticed right here at the top, it says, if you know one person with autism, you know one person with autism. Can you explain that quote to me?
Absolutely. I explain this every day.
Mm-hmm.
It means that because autism is such a wide spectrum of profound to high functioning,
mm-hmm.
Every person you meet who has it is its own individual case. It's not like any type of disease where there's a certain protocol. You have this type of disease and here's the treatment for it. That's not how autism works. Because within the spectrum, there are also spectrums for the different behaviors. You may have a child who's nonverbal, and then you may have a child who is stemming, okay? They may do it at different levels in their different spectrums. And so that's why we say no two people with autism are the same, which, you know, it is sometimes can make it challenging to diagnose because it's difficult. You have to take into account all these different behaviors and where they fall on their own spectrum. So it's very unusual to find two people who are exactly the same.
In your experience with autism, what are some of the warning signs? What are some of the things that people might see that they might mistake for autism?
So some of the early signs of autism would be, the biggest one would be lack of eye contact, aversion to physical touch. And these are huge because when a child is just a baby and they're not wanting to be held or they're not wanting to nurse or just be swaddled in any way, that's a big sign. The lack of eye contact is also huge. Babies are really into looking to people for, am I behaving the right way? They're looking for that recognition and that validation. They're looking to learn how to smile and, you know, and all of this. And so when you're not getting that eye contact, you're also not getting the social skills that you're going to use later in life, in my opinion. there's the verbal communication, early on, they should be speaking a lot more at 2 years old than a lot of children with autism are. Some don't speak at all. And so that's usually a big red flag when you go into the development, the 2 year old doctor's appointment, and then they're only speaking a few words or none at all. So there are lots of early warning signs and other behaviors that are associated with it, which is why I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Lisa Oliver and let her introduce herself and tell a little bit about her story.
All right.
My name is Lisa Oliver. I'm the grandmother of Levi Austin Williams. God is holding my family together with all the help from the community. Y'all have been awesome, and we really, really appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. Levi was love. Levi knew no wrong. Levi was as precious as they could come. We started noticing the changes in Levi when he was about 8 months old. We noticed he didn't have contact, eye contact with us. When he'd be screaming, we'd pick him up to try to cuddle him, and there was no cuddling. He didn't want to be held. So we kind of knew early on, but, all the steps, that needed to be done, we tried to learn them. There's a lot to it. Every child is different. A tragic accident happened. Levi was hit by a car. And me as a grandmother feel like that it could have been, it didn't have to happen. It should have never happened. We should have been more of aware of what we really needed to get to be secure. But when you don't know these things, you just don't know them. And accidents happen, and it opens up a big mountain that you realize, hey, what do we do in a situation like this? God sent me to the Autism Awesome office, and that's where I met Mary. I'm nervous. I'm not a speaker, y'all, but I will learn as much as the speaking part as the autism part. I promise y'all that. Mm-hmm. Help me.
So, okay. So as far as the early signs go, did you notice anything? One of the behaviors associated with autism sometimes is that children with autism have special interest abilities. Almost to the point of obsession.
Yes.
I know a few people like that, maybe even myself. But what I'm wondering is, did he have anything that maybe stood out to you?
Levi loved to sing ABCs, and he also loved to sing it in Spanish. We didn't know what he was saying, but he loved that. He loved numbers, shapes, colors. When he first started school, he didn't really come up to us and get on our lap or anything, but he started coming up to us and getting on our lap and, learning more, and I feel like the older he got, the better he would have been.
Progressed.
Progressed.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Well, that's it. And then that brings us back to the opening song.
Yes. Yeah. His all you heard Levi say was, "Oh, MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O." That was his favorite song. That and Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. Yeah. So if you could only imagine going down the car and that's what you're hearing, and you're singing it with him, and we stop at the red lights and everybody's looking at us, and we roll our windows down for them to sing it. We had a blast. So
let me ask you real quick. One of the things we talked about that day that you came into my office was how you want to proceed in the future so that Levi's legacy lives on.
Yes. We want to start a foundation. And that foundation is when a child is diagnosed with autism, that they have the community and the nation, the world, as parents and grandmas. I think we're all responsible when someone can't afford what they need to make their home secured by every aspect. There's mothers and there's fathers out there that know steps as being diagnosed as 8 months old to 30 years old, 40 years old. We need to be aware of our community putting money together to help these families get fenced in yards, to get their locks on their doors, to get the windows they need for their houses. Y'all, we've got to pull together, and we've got to put more into this. These children should not be dying.
And that's what we're actually going to be meeting with a local state representative about, Michelle Salzman, potentially pulling some legislation together about this. We still need to flesh it all out. Yeah. And I'd also like to get Mike White involved. He is our legislative liaison from the board of directors. Hasn't had to do too much in that thing. So we're going to put you to work, Mike.
Yeah, not yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I definitely think, you know, with Levi's story, I think it serves as a really good example of why, you know, things like Project Lifesaver, things like, you know, what we're doing are very important to the community and should be more important to the country as a whole. You know, just making sure that parents have access to these resources and that these resources are either affordable or no cost to them. Because, I mean, there are a lot of situations. I mean, my situation personally, I mean, I was diagnosed, you know, officially at 2.5, but, you know, just like Levi's story, my mom noticed when I was about 6 months old. And, you know, back in the 90s, doctors weren't really diagnosing that early. I think the average age of diagnosis was about 3 years old. So even 2.5 was significantly early. But, you know, my mom said, you know, at 6 months, you know, there's something wrong with my son. There's something going on. What can we do? And the doctor told her, she's like, well, I can't really, you know, give him a diagnosis. But, you know, if I had to point you in the right direction, here's some things that I would tell you to do. So my mom went to the library, read the books, personally put me in all the therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and fought and fought and fought. But the thing is that she was doing that fight alone, and that shouldn't have to happen. There should be communities, there should be groups, organizations, which is exactly why I wanted to get involved with Autism Pensacola, is because knowing my mom's story, it's just very close to me, making sure that nobody has to go through the same situation my mom went through, or they're able to work together as a whole to really push for advocacy for these children.
Wow. If you have questions or comments, you want to join the conversation today, 437-1620. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Go to autismpensacola.org, or you can send them an email, info@autismpensacola.org, or give them a call, 850-434-7171. My guests this morning, the executive director of Autism Pensacola, Mary McClellan. I also have from the board of directors for Autism Pensacola, we have Mike White, and we're also joined by our special guest, Lisa Oliver. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story. I know it's got to be difficult. But thank you for being here, and thank you for just wanting to start this foundation, because, like you said, there's just a mountain of information that you have to climb over to even get your head wrapped around what you're facing when your child is diagnosed with autism. So, yeah, anything I can do, anything our listeners can do to help, we will definitely be there for you. So thank you for sharing your story this morning.
Thank you.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that I wanted to segue into here is Project Lifesaver. That is a program that is offered through Autism Pensacola in partnership with Escambia Search and Rescue. This is a program that is designed to find children who wander or elope. And elope is exactly what it sounds like. They take off without any regard to safety. They have no fear or fear of danger, and don't understand the consequences of what happens when their mom wakes up in the middle of the night and their child is gone, has escaped the house. And this happens even when you have doors with locks that look like inner city New York. You know, I've seen it. They're crafty. They can get out of anything. They're little Houdinis, mm-hmm. right? Am I right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. and so Project Lifesaver is a bracelet that's worn 24/7. It's waterproof, pretty much destruction proof. Although I have to say, I've seen quite a few that have managed to destroy those and get them off. But luckily, they're easily replaceable. They have a transmitter on them. If you realize your child's missing, you contact Escambia Search and Rescue. They send out a signal, and it goes straight to the child's transmitter. They are able to find these children within a matter of minutes.
Awesome.
As opposed to, you know, days or hours, you know, right. days. And they told me some statistics on how far they need to broaden their search area per hour. It's 3 miles.
Wow.
Without the transmitter.
Ugh.
But 100% success rate in with Escambia Search and Rescue so far.
Mm. Great.
So I just really believe in this program. It's free to people who, parents and so forth, who need it. It is funded through Autism Pensacola. And it's one of the programs that we offer through our nonprofit organization. It's a great program. Life-saving. Yeah.
Especially around here. I mean, you know, to quote Jimmy, you know, as yeah. Jimmy would like to say, yeah. Jimmy knows the statistics pretty well, so I'm just
Jimmy
gonna give,
we're talking about Jimmy Donahoe,
yeah,
by the way.
I'm gonna give very broad, but yeah. I know it's 50% of children with autism end up eloping, 90% around 90% of those water related.
90% of children under the age of 14 who drown have autism,
mm-hmm.
and they have eloped.
Yeah,
usually.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, my personal eloping story, I was 9 years old. We used to go to Old Orchard Beach, Maine for vacation, and I was boogie boarding in the Atlantic Ocean, which as a kid, now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that water's cold, man. I don't know yeah. how I stayed out there that long, but ended up a mile and a half down the beach just because I was following the waves and, you know, just having a good time. But my mom was worried sick, running up and down the beach trying yeah. to find me. And I had no, you know, recollection of that even being anything serious. I was just like, oh, it's just boogie boarding. But, you know, I look back on it now and, you know, from the perspective of somebody who's now getting to know more about eloping, more about, you know, the different experiences with, you know, a child with autism, it's, you know, definitely a pretty jarring experience because that could have ended very badly.
Yes,
absolutely. And, you know, and a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wonderful program. I love to see the kids. That's one of the things I don't get to see very much are the kids, who, you know, because we see they're out in the community, you know, now we do have our kids for camp. So over summer, I do like to go by there as I can, to visit with our kids. They're just amazing, amazing little individuals.
Yeah.
But Project Lifesaver, like I said, it is a free program to families who need it. And then there's also the Take Me Home program, and that's through the Pensacola Police Department. They have a database of information that parents can voluntarily offer, and it includes things like physical characteristics, like, you know, hair color, eye color, height. That, of course, you have to keep it updated. You can put a picture in. If you want to give a DNA sample, you can. But that way, if a law enforcement or first responder comes across a child who is by himself, and especially if they're nonverbal, they can put blonde hair, blue eyes, 3'7", and into the database that's right there in their vehicle, and find out who this child is and return this child to their families.
And Escambia County Sheriff's Department, now they have the decals now, right?
Yes.
For, an occupant with autism.
That's right.
Definitely get those decals and put them on your
yes.
car, because that'll just help them in any traffic stop situation to understand a little bit more about who they've pulled over and why they might not be responding the way they expect.
Exactly, so, exactly. Yeah. So these safety programs are really important, and I believe that Lisa, as the grandmother of Levi, she understands this importance, and it sounds to me like you're really taking this grief and you're really bundling it up and moving it in toward a direction that is positive and will benefit so many kids in Levi's name.
Yes, Levi's purpose.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's really amazing. So we have other programs too, but those are the two good safety ones that we focus on. So,
okay, I do have a caller on the phone with a real quick question. Let's see here. Caller, go ahead with your question real quick for, I believe it was for Lisa Oliver.
Yes. My name is Donna Carrier, and I have a question for her. The legislature that you're trying to pass, is it going to include things like signs saying that disabled or autistic children are at play in order to keep our roads safe?
Yes, it is, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's very important because the speed limits around these children's homes will make a big difference.
Mm. Yes, definitely.
So that would mean that other people, like when they're diagnosed, that somebody will come around to where they live and they would post some of those signs to where people on the roadway would understand that there is someone that could be in the road.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always
thank
an issue.
You
as, yeah, thank you for your question. Thank you for listening
thank
this
you.
Morning. Yeah, I've noticed just from delivering food, you know, every day going through some of these neighborhoods, the speed limits, even though they might be correct for that area, people don't really recognize them. They just kind of go however fast they want to. And if there's no speed tables or anything else slowing them down, the speeds can get really, really dangerous in those areas. So, and with all the cars parked on the side of the road, kids can, I always just try to imagine in my mind when I'm driving through these neighborhoods, I can see it in my mind, just a kid running out from in between two of those vehicles. And I try to constantly replay that in my head so that I don't, get distracted. And one thing I've noticed about just everybody in general nowadays, we're a very distracted culture. We are not as present as we were when I was a kid because of all these electronic distractions. So that's just one thing to keep in mind as well, especially when you're on the road, because a lot of people use their cell phone in their car. So lots of things that we have to think about and to address. So thank you for the work that you're going to do on this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Back to you to wrap it up. We got a couple minutes.
Okay. People always ask us, how do you fund these programs? And it's through our various fundraisers or donations from individuals, corporate partnerships, and so forth. We do have our big gala coming up on May 2nd. If you want information about that, you can go to our website, autismpensacola.org. We have our Sensory Street coming up in July, and that's a 3-day community event down at the Museum of Commerce, free to the general public, and more information will be coming about that.
All right, Mary McClellan, Mike White, Lisa Oliver, thank you so much for being here today.
You're listening News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.